Yeah.
We're on a journey together to unearth what really drives you, what matters most, so you can drive further, faster, and enjoy the ride. This is What Drives You, and I'm your host, Kevin Miller. Stop and notice how your life philosophy is driving you, for better or worse. I mean, we all live with a life philosophy, if you will. We have a guiding principles. We have beliefs and expectations that influence everything we think and do. But most people are unaware of the philosophy they're actually living under and don't realize they're being mindlessly guided to destinations, not of their conscious choice. And you and I are most people often. And on any given day, we don't stop and take captive what's going on and decide and choose what we want to be going on. So following is a true story to highlight the point and help you actually grasp the opportunity before you.
I'm a foodie and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of seven requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
So this past December, like every December for the past 20 years, I woke up at my home in the Colorado Rockies, which sits at 9,200 feet above sea level. It's cold in the winter. So I get out of bed in sweatpants, short sleeve shirt that I slept in. I put on jeans and usually a flannel or a sweatshirt or a hoodie or something like that before I head downstairs. I generally get up between 5 and 6 in the morning. So when I walk downstairs, it's, you know, often, I think in December it was dark. So this last December, as I record this, my dad got pancreatic cancer, got a diagnosis. And so I flew to my parents' home near Sarasota, Florida, to be with my family. And I was there for a long time until he passed away. Well, so I fly there initially, and the next morning I wake up and it's already light outside, which felt out of place. And my expectation was it should still be dark. And I swung my legs out of bed and they were bare, as was my torso, as I'd taken my, you know, normal sweats and t-shirt off in the middle of the night due to the warm temperatures. And my mind told me as I removed the covers that it should just be chilly and I'd need to, you know, put on jeans, but the room was just warm. It was unnecessary. Then I opened the door to step outside and still kind of expect this chill of the morning. And it was just disconcerting that it was actually more hot and humid outside than in my room. So we're just at December and it's, you know, 80 degrees and probably 90% humidity with a really high dew point. And it's just, it doesn't make sense. It goes against my life philosophy, if you will. So of course I got fairly used to it over a few weeks, this new environment and the temperature, but it was always just a bit unnerving. And it felt out of character for what my mind and my body expected and just felt was normal, my philosophy, if you will. So again, I live high up in Colorado where even in the summer, the air is chilled when the sun goes down, or in the middle of the summer when it's blazing hot like an oven and a cloud goes in front of the sun, it'll still get a little chilly. It's really schizophrenic in that way. So evenings and mornings are always chilly. And even in the afternoon, if a cloud comes over, it gets cloudy. So anytime the sky is not clear, the sun's not shining in Florida, my head again expected, oh, it's cool temperature. And it just didn't change. And it was so hard to come to grips with the heat and the humidity continually, regardless of the time of day or presence of the sun. 6 weeks later, came back to Colorado, re-entered what my mind felt was normal. Call it a temperature philosophy, if you will. And it just amazes me how this depicts life. And when we grow up and adopt a life philosophy, we reject the philosophy that we grew up with, or we accept it. That's generally one or the other. It's generally polarized. Look at that with people. They just kind of accept and embrace what they grew up in, or they reject it. Either way, it's not something that we authentically step back and go, what do we want our life philosophy to be? And sometimes we'll find somebody else and just kind of willy-nilly jump onto their philosophy as well. And again, it's not our own. So few people ever realize this and step back and ask themselves what philosophy they want to live by. And thus, they so often find themselves living a life they don't desire and aren't fully in agreement with. And this is when you find your drive is out of alignment. You got all the drive you need, but you're not in gear, or you're stuck in gear, or you're stuck in park. You don't realize this because we focus on specific circumstances that we don't like and or appreciate. And we don't realize that they're a result of our overall philosophy by far and large. Even if we've had tragedy happen to us, we've been victimized by something, our response is generally in accordance to our life philosophy. Now, in our lives, there's no real set temperature like there is up in the Rockies or in Florida. Our minds are neutral and they simply function according to how they've been programmed, which we may not have chosen, but we just have to realize, hey, we were programmed this way. We didn't choose that, but how do we want to be programmed? You think about money as a great analogy. I mean, if you grew up in a lower to middle class home, you understand pinching pennies and making a moderate amount of money and usually being concerned about maybe any expense, especially big expenses. If you grew up in an upper to very affluent home, you have a different view on money and spending and how you afford things. There's something to be said about environmental factors and opportunity availability. I don't want to discount that. I mean, if you grew up in a blue-collar environment with parents or caregivers who are working blue-collar jobs, you've had less exposure and opportunity to break out of that mold. Likewise, if you grew up in a white-collar environment, you had far more access to a lot of opportunities as well. Though even there, you're still limited. You weren't exposed to some of the blue-collar, maybe manual labor that may be a better fit for you. So it's all very relevant. It has little to do with, the point is, with your capacity or your capability. Of far more merit is the general philosophy that you live under, that you were raised under and you adopted. Again, adopted. You adopted it or you rejected it. That's still a response or a reaction and not you stepping back and go, wait, what do I believe for me? What you expect and have faith in about yourself and about your life pretty much dictates everything. There are plenty of stories, you know, where, let's use the blue collar and white collar, blue collar parents believed in more for their children and their children became more. We got plenty of doctors and lawyers that were first time college participants and graduates. And we have white collar parents who believed in less for their children and their children became less. Or we have white-collar parents who also expose their kids to doing things that may not be in their realm of influence. I know some people personally who are both doctors, the parents are, and their oldest son decided to pursue welding. I'm so grateful they supported that. He loves it. It's not the norm. So there are many variables that contribute to our success, but this one on life philosophy really stands out. If you feel the world is for you in essence, then it tends to look and feel like it is. And if you feel it's against you, it's generally what you're going to experience as well. I mean, this is not new news, but this is something we need to be reminded of every single day. This is the power of our, again, a life philosophy we often didn't really choose. Now, the opportunity, there's lots of opportunities. A big one is looking at the influences in your life. When you get around other people who have different life philosophies, you don't want to just willy-nilly, again, adopt those, but be open to that, that they have a different perspective. They have different expectations. And you might find permission to question things and consider widening your view, changing your view, questioning it at the least. And I encourage you to think about this as you're reading books, watching movies, listening to podcasts, reading blogs, consuming information from people, to not just pay attention to the content they're offering, but notice that these people delivering these messages have different philosophies and they live in different realities. It's worth considering opening your mind to that and ensuing new opportunities. Friends, thanks so much for joining me on this journey. I look forward to meeting you in the Drive Tribe community for ongoing discussions about these episodes. And you can subscribe to the Drive Drop newsletter for weekly updates on the shows as well. But until next time, I hope this episode helps you drive further and enjoy the ride.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top-tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin.
Thanks so much for joining me on this journey. I look forward to meeting you in the Drive Tribe community for ongoing discussions about each episode. You can subscribe to the Drive Drop newsletter for weekly updates. Find it all at kevinmiller.co, along with all our social media and video clips. Until next time, I hope this episode helps you drive further and enjoy the ride.